Morning, I have the privilege of being able to stand before you and to be able to share some of the stories that that the Lord has brought as a result of allowing us to serve Him. To greet one another in the morning, you say, Sabah al-Khair. So, if I were to say, Sabah al-Khair, you would respond by saying, Sabah al-Nur. I wish you the blessings of the light, sabah al-khair, excuse me, of the day. And you respond back, I wish you the blessings of the light. And I will tell you, there's such a great privilege of working in the Middle East and also in Asia to see the Lord doing things in this part of the world that many times we in the United States say, is anything happening there? And I will tell you, there's more happening there than there's happening here. God is at work today, and He is graciously drawing people to Himself in very, very unique ways. Well, this morning we want to deal with a subject that is probably, for me personally, one of the most difficult. In my lifetime, I was raised in the island of Sri Lanka, dealt with people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who were martyred. Our neighbors were killed. My brother and I were under a kidnap threat for 2.5 years, knowing full well that the Lord had a plan and purpose. And yet that was something in my own life that I had a difficulty with. Can everybody hear me okay? You hear me okay? I had a difficulty with, and yet the Lord had a plan, and little did I understand that plan for me personally until I stood with at a retreat with the National Baptist Church from Baghdad, Iraq. We were up in Sulaymaniyah, a place called Dahok, and had the privilege of ministering to this precious body, this precious family of believers. Listening to young people, listening to children, dealing with much the same thing that I had to deal with as a child. As you take a look at the persecuted church, thankfully the United States has not dealt with that. In fact, just last night I received an email from a friend of mine from Elminia in Egypt. He has just been given the opportunity to immigrate to the United States. And I'm excited to hear how he will transition from Arabic speaking to an English speaker. I'm excited to see how he will then transition into the fact that he will be a productive citizen of his new and welcoming country. One of the things that that we've had the privilege of learning is the Middle Eastern welcome, which is ahlan wa sahlan. Literally, that says, you are welcome to my door, and I trust that you find it an easy one to do so. We as Americans, dealing with the fact that God has brought us here, I'm second generation. My grandparents came from Holland. We see how God has used the United States. I want to turn our attention, first of all, to the Scriptures. As we think about the verse of Scripture found in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. As I think about the end times, I think about the fact that the Scripture tells us in verse 9 of the seals that will be opened then. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. In the 20th century, there have been more Christians martyred than, now listen to me here. In the 20th century, there are more Christians who have been martyred because of their walk with Jesus Christ than in the last 19 centuries combined. In the next hour, that Pastor has graciously given me the privilege of being able to share. And Pastor Rob, thanks for letting me be in your pulpit this morning. You are a blessed church, and I thank the Lord for your pastor. And I, too, thank the Lord for the fact that I can call him friend. And I look forward to our relationship growing. But as we think of the church, we think of the fact, yes, more people have died because of the testimony of Jesus Christ in the 20th century than in the last 19 centuries combined. We as believers have just marked something that has taken place, that there are more Christians that have died in Egypt in the last 4 months than in the last, you have to go back to the 11th century to rack up that many Christians. I can't tell you how many times my phone would literally buzz during the night. I would get a text message saying, "Brother John, you need to pray because of this happening, that happening. We've lost another brother, Yohanna. We've lost another brother, Botros. We've lost another brother." And it goes on and on and on. Because of the fact that there are people that refuse to understand that we are Christ followers. They call us infidel. Ana kafila. I am not an infidel. I am the follower of Jesus Christ. I am the follower of God Almighty. And I choose to be a man who allows the message of Jesus Christ's love, forgiveness, repentance, and the ability to tuck in before the great God who Jesus Christ came to represent in the Middle East. Now, this might be a little bit of a shock to you, but in the Middle East, we among the evangelical believers call God the Father Allah. We have no problem in saying that. Jesus Christ bin Allah, from God the Father, the one who came to show us. And when you take a look at all of that that took place as a result of going through history, Abraham, the great prophet of Scripture, as he is told to take his son to the mountain. And he's told, sacrifice him there. What did God do? God brought the redemption of his son in providing the lamb. This is Jesus Christ. And this is understood because this is the God. Not only is he great, not only is he all-powerful, he is a God of mercy. He is a God of, yes, justice, but he's also a God of love. And this is the God in whom we have chosen to serve. In the next hour that we have the privilege of sitting here, there will be 20 of our brothers and sisters in Christ that will enter heaven because of the Word of God and the testimony that they have maintained. But I want you to think with me this morning about the fact that there are those that look to Jesus Christ and say, He is worthy not just to live for, but He is worthy to give our lives for. Within our communities and within our global community, there are those that will go and bomb themselves and call them martyr. But there is not one Christian who has killed himself and killed others in the name of Jesus Christ. There is not one. But we have willingly laid our lives down. And I will tell you, I had the privilege of speaking to a number of pastors in Egypt as we got together. And this was just after the end of Maspero, where we saw what was said, 17 Christians killed. We know of over 55 funeral services that took place. And we got on our knees and we begged God for His mercy upon Egypt. We begged God for His mercy upon the Middle East. We beg God for an outpouring of His mercy upon even those who had done such a despicable act. And I will tell you, this is the mark of the Christian. He is filled with grace, truth, and love for those who would spit and kill him. And I remember as I was talking and praying, and I was on my knees, one of the pastors as he was praying, "Oh God, I pray that out of my mouth the grace of Jesus Christ would be seen. I pray that the mercy of God Almighty would be known. And Lord, I pray that if I should have to lay my life down, that every last drop of my blood would be stating one thing, Jesus Christ loves you." Just last week, I received pictures of the churches in Elminia in Upper Nile region as they were burned, as people were standing against the Christians and saying, "We must rid us of the infidel." Over 90 churches burned or confiscated. And I will tell you, that church that stood there, the evangelical church in Minia, they gathered together as a community of believers and they opened up a big sign. And what do you think it said on it? What do you think it said? "How dare you for the fact that you destroyed our church? How dare you? You will pay." No, that's not what it said. It said, "We love Elminia because Jesus Christ loves Elminia. You have burned our walls. These are only temporal. Jesus Christ has shown us what is eternal." And today that church is meeting in a burned out shell because Jesus Christ is worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy of our service. Not only do I have an adjustable mic, I have an adjustable pulpit. Nishkarab. Praise the Lord. What is the issue here? It is rejection of a message. Today in North Korea, they have stated for the 9th year in a row, it is the country that is persecuting more churches than any other country in the world. Today, if you own a Bible, you are immediately put into a gulag-style prison. If you are a pastor and you are sharing the message, as your pastor faithfully does week after week, and I was on your website last night checking the times of the service, but I looked at the messages that he's been preaching, and I will tell you, church, you're fed well. You are fed well. Your pastor, for preaching the Word of God. In North Korea, pastors there are given a death sentence, but they are not even given the dignity of a bullet, but of a steamroller. When you take a look at what the Scripture tells us here, "I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the Word of God and the testimony they had maintained." When I speak with these pastors and I have the privilege of speaking in their churches, I realize one thing. This is a church that has been purified by suffering. This is church that has been purified and realized what is the most important thing, and that is that we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I find so interesting is that within the United States, the most talked about issue is whether the pastor went over 15 minutes on his message or not. Tell you what, your pastor needs to be prayed for. Your pastor needs to be upheld. The dignity of the man and the dignity of his wife and the dignity of his office needs to be upheld. And yet, this is our biggest issue within the United States. It is time that we turn our attention to realize that there is a testimony to uphold, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a rejection of the message. These souls under the altar are pictured as crying out, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" There is coming a day, friend, where there is a reckoning. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And yet we have example after example of people that think they have to do the vengeance of God. And I will tell you, God will do that all by Himself. He is God. He is God. And He says, vengeance is mine. And today we live in a day where God's grace and mercy is given for those who want to follow a false direction, a false religion, a false idea. God says, go ahead. But we as Christians have the privilege of walking and knowing the truth of the Word of God, the truth of who Almighty God is, and the truth of Jesus Christ. What kind of example are you? As the Scripture tells me in the book of Hebrews that I'm to be a living sacrifice. People will say, well, I will sacrifice my life. What does that look like? A walk with the Lord Jesus Christ means we're spending time in Scripture. We're spending time interacting with people in the ideals of what the world is thinking of today. Engage them. And here they are. Because of the Word of God and the integrity of their testimony, they were martyred. Very honestly, as he says, how long, Sovereign Lord? 2 years ago, a 24-year-old precious little Egyptian girl who's been working with our ministry was captured and kidnapped. They offered a ransom of over $30,000. The family couldn't pay. And because of the fact that she was a believer, because of the fact that she had been teaching young women, number one, of how to study the Word of God and how to read and how to be educated, this precious, precious young lady who the week following was to walk the altar to be married to a young man, 28 years of age, who loved the Lord Jesus himself. She was kidnapped, she was captured, she was brutally raped, and then beheaded because she was a Christian. My goal this morning is not to traumatize you, but to help you recognize that we are dealing with an issue that the Scripture tells us very clearly, that God is bringing this world to a recognition that He is Lord. And as I dealt with that, I asked that same question, how long, Sovereign Lord? How long will you allow this to happen? She had worked with our ministry, teaching computers, teaching literacy, teaching girls up to the age of 26 of how to read and write in a place that frowned upon women being educated. I think of another young man who was serving the Lord in downtown Cairo. The mullah had called for the removal of the infidel. He had just stepped off the bus on Friday. Stepped off the bus, he'd finished his day's work, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, had a walk with the Lord that was impeccable. He was walking down the street, and this man came out with a pistol and shot him before he even knew what was going on. Watching the church, San Michael's in downtown Cairo, people tucked inside that church as people outside standing on the walls are pouring in with AK-47 fire. This is what's happening. It's because of the word and the testimony. It is because people are rejecting the message of mercy, grace, and truth in Jesus Christ. We need to stand with them. There's been a call down through the centuries, how long, O Lord? The servants of God throughout the ages have asked that same question. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, David, As he even says, Lord, my soul is in anguish. I cry out, how long, O Lord, how long? Habakkuk asked, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? The world is a human society that has been led astray by the evil one. It lays under his spiritual sway and control. The world's people are at home in the present world order, men of earthbound vision, trusting in earthly security, unable to look beyond their own temporal ideas of reality. On the other hand, the Christians admit that they are aliens and strangers on the earth. We desire a better country, a better place, a heavenly one, a building whom God has built and prepared for us. We seek a kingdom of God in the new Jerusalem. And in Revelation, these saints have cried out, O God, avenge our martyrdom. God will avenge one day, and His justice will fall. And I don't care if it's in the United States, somewhere in the Middle East, North Korea, India, Myanmar, I don't care where it happens, God will avenge His people. He will. How long? Until His plan and purposes are fulfilled. You see, this goes against our Western mindset of, this is my life. I will live it how I choose. I will enjoy it on my terms. I will work through it, and everything is about me. In fact, just recently, they talk about pictures. I was watching one of the news programs about taking pictures of yourself. It's now called selfies, right? Selfies. You take your iPhone. I almost picked up my microphone. You take your iPhone. You hold it out like this, and you take a picture of yourself. It's a selfie. The problem is the American church has been taking pictures of ourselves for too long. We've been stepping back and saying, look at me, this is my life, I will live as I choose. We need to realize very clearly what is happening around the world. We need to get on our knees and pray for them. The Lord sees this not as simply a random act or a meaningless occurrence, but an offering of self-sacrifice to the Lord. In 2004, I had the privilege of being in downtown Baghdad. Just after Saddam Hussein had been removed from power, I was there with 700 Iraqis, 300 Aramaic believers, and 6 Americans, including myself. We had the privilege of seeing the National Baptist Church of Baghdad established and had the privilege of being on the ordination council of the pastor who had been pastoring a church underground for 20 years under the Saddam Hussein regime. We enjoyed a wonderful evening, singing, fellowship, pastor can even say it, dancing. Nothing like Middle Eastern dancing and celebration. Hello, huh? Koyasiktir. But as we celebrated and celebrated the night, then the best part of it all. You see, the best part of being in the Middle East is the food. They came out with hummus and falafel and shawarma and just on and on and on and on. Things that would literally, well, it's making my mouth water. There were 6 of us, Americans, and 35 Iraqis. We were enjoying the fellowship of the evening. Little did we know that just 6 months later, there would be 30 Iraqis left and 2 Americans, one of which was me. Just a few months later, Larry and Jean Elliott, Karen Westcott, Dave and Cheryl. Yeah, Cheryl. McDonald. We're heading just north of Baghdad, heading up to Sulaymaniyya, when people recognized them as Western foreigners. They leveled two RPGs at their van. The first RPG hit and exploded, shattering the glass, killing Larry and Jean. They were going up to help establish a water project, restoring water to people in northern Iraq. The shattered the glass in the door. The second RPG blew the minivan door through the van, killing Karen, injuring both David and his wife. He immediately grabbed her, got out, grabbed a taxi, got to the American base. The international doctors started working on her, and just as soon as he got his wife in to be taken care of, he walked over, he sat down on a stool to just take a deep breath. He took a deep breath, he looked down at his chest, saw the blood streaming down, and the Lord took him home. I had just been with them because of the testimony. Can I ask you a question this morning, personally? What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ enough to say, Lord, you are worthy of my standing before people and declaring the message of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, Lord, you are worthy of my life day by day being able to serve you? Can I ask you this question? Is the Lord worthy enough to lay your life down for? See, that's the question, isn't it? And I've asked myself the question. I've sat in a hotel that got bombed out. I got blown out of my bed. Got shot at. I've got a fatwa declared against me. Anybody that does anything for the Lord Jesus in the Middle East gets a fatwa declared against you. So, big deal. But He's worthy. He's worthy to live for, and He's worthy to die for. You know something? My Jesus takes a look at your life and mine, and He says, you're worthy of my love. You're worthy of my redemption. You're worthy of my relationship with you. You're worthy of being able to look at you and say, of all of your sin and mine, te absolvia, which is Latin for you are absolved of all your guilt and sin. As the high priest, Jesus Christ, looks at you and He says, because of my blood on the cross, because of my substitutionary death, just like Abraham's son had a substitutionary lamb that was given to him and given for him, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world for your personal sin and mine. You know, I think of my sin, and there are times where I just grieve and I say, oh God, please forgive me. But then let's just add all of you. I know I don't mean you, but the person maybe sitting next to you. Because you're a good person. But I tell you what, I know me. And I thank God for the fact that Jesus Christ redeemed me. The blood of the Lamb. God's Word who declared me, who declared you righteous. God's Word who declared us sinless even though we had sinned. Justified even though we were ready to be condemned to literally eternity without help, without hope. When I asked Pastor what time I was to shut down, I thought he said 10:50. It's a good thing he said it a little louder again. Can I tell you something? Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. Do you know why? Because the very prayer, the true Lord's prayer, will be fulfilled in the fact that Jesus said, I want them to be with me where I am so that they can see the glory that you, Father, gave me from the foundation of the world. I want them to be with me. And I tell you what, sometimes when we take a look at how a person lives and how a person actually dies, we are so traumatized that Larry and Jean and David and Karen were killed. We're so traumatized by this. But I will tell you, they continue to be an example to the next generation. And I may be speaking to somebody here today that is hearing the very call of God and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Here am I, Lord. You are worthy not only of my life, you're worthy of my service, you're worthy of my abilities. Lord, you're even worthy should I have to lay my life down. My first mom, when I was 2.5, because we were living in the Philippines, she was given a wrong medication. She died. My brother, who was the son of Mom Shirley and Dad, because of the fact that we were in Sri Lanka, he was born with a hole in his heart. We were trying to medevac equipment in. And the customs officer said, you will not have this package because this world will be better off with one less white man in it. See, we've walked that path too. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. He is worthy. He is worthy. For those 20 that have just given their life to Christ during the time, given their life for Christ during the time that we've been speaking, would tell you one thing. He is worthy. He is worthy. As we've chosen that verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, persecuted, but not forsaken, I want you to think with me as we close this message this morning. When Stephen was being stoned for the testimony and the word of Christ, what did he say? He says, I see heaven opened up and Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of Allah, welcoming him home. Dear friends, we are thinking too much as worldlings if we are trying to hold on to this life for all we're worth. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for this life. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. I'm so thankful that my wife is here this morning. Thank you so much for your prayers. She's completed her 5th week of chemo and radiation. And I tell you what, we're doing everything we know how to do to make her healthy. But we know one thing. There's coming a day where this life will be over. And this is the thing that I want to ask you this morning. There's a little poem that was up on my grandparents' wall that burned into me the values of my grandparents and my parents. It said this, only one life will soon be passed. You want to finish it with me? Only what's done for Christ will last. This morning, there are many who love the Lord Jesus Christ who have been redeemed just as you are, of different nationalities in the Middle East, in Asia, in China, in the farthest east parts of Asia, that love Jesus Christ just as much as you do. They have invested their lives. One of the churches that we have the privilege of partnering through in the Middle East has gone to another Middle Eastern country and shared Jesus Christ in this Middle Eastern country where we know that there are 12 believers. As a result of them communicate, there's not one American among them, by the way, not one. And by the time they were done of a 10-day outreach in sharing Jesus Christ, all in Arabic, all within their cultures, 12 more trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Because of the Word. Because of the testimony. Because Jesus Christ is worthy. And like I say,
as we take a look at the persecuted church, it's not there to traumatize you. It's there to encourage you, to lift you up, and to straighten your shoulders and say, we are part of something that only God can do. Because out of bloodline, out of nationality, remove all barriers because Jesus Christ has made us one. Can I share with you, as we take a look at the last verse of Scripture this morning, in verse 16 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, turn with me there. Please mark it in your Bible. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, Miriam would look at you this morning and say, it was worth serving the Lord Jesus. It was worth giving my life for Him. And that is a light and momentary trial compared to what I'm appreciating today. Because Jesus Christ is faithful. Persecuted, yes, but never forsaken. Never forsaken. For our light and momentary trials, oh, we'll kill you. Go ahead. But you will see Jesus Christ in me as you do. That is a light, and that is a momentary trial. What does the Scripture say? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, here is our marching order, church. Here it is, verse 10. Is that right? No, verse 18. Excuse me. I don't have the right prescription. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Is Jesus Christ worth serving? Yes or no? Yes, He is. Every single one of these asks the question, how long, Lord, until Your plan and purpose is enacted? What I find interesting is the fifth seal is speaking about sealing up the ability to be a testimony where people will actually have the permission to kill anybody who witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's the fifth seal. In other words, as we take a look at the pestilence, we take a look at the famine, we take a look at 1/4 of the world's population dying, we see all of these things. One of the judgments that God puts upon the earth is that the mouth of the faithful are quieted in death. That is a judgment that will be laid at the feet of this world. You chose to shut down the testimony. Can I ask you a question this morning? Has Satan shut down your testimony? Are you quiet this morning? Or are you saying, Lord, I will share with those around me that need Jesus Christ? People don't know how to stay married these days. People don't know how to budget their finances these days. People don't know how to be a good citizen these days. Guess what? The church is the answer. You, because you know Jesus Christ as Savior, are the answer. Because of His Word. Because of the testimony. I challenge you this morning. Be men and women who follow and are faithful even unto death. Because He's worthy. And Father, this morning, I want to thank You for the privilege that we have of being able to turn our attention to those who are suffering. Father, the people that You've allowed me to know to cross paths, who are now in heaven because of being faithful. Lord, this morning we stand together, joining together, saying, Lord, please, count us worthy of unusual and Holy Spirit-filled service. And that's not flipping over a pew somewhere. That is a life of service. Father, help us to engage. Father, we've got 7,000 people groups left that need the translation of Scripture before the Great Commission is fulfilled. Lord, statistics seem to be indicating that we've got between 18 and 22 years before the Great Commission is fulfilled. Lord, help us to move that forward and reach toward the day where You return. And that we might hear You say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've done well. Enter into the kingdom of heaven." With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, I wonder this morning if you would not recommit your heart and say, "Lord, You are worthy. You are worthy of my life. You are worthy of my obedience. You are worthy of my walk." Lord, thank You for redeeming us. Nobody else looking around, I wonder this morning if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. Friend, there is nothing that will remove the sin of your life and mine. Obedience, good life, good works, good actions, good thoughts will not change a thing. You know, and I know, we still have them. Nothing will forgive save the blood of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that if anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And friend, all you have to supply is a sinner. And we're pretty good at that. But then the Scripture promises that He will provide a Savior. All you have to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Accept me as Your child. Oh God, forgive us as a people who have been called Christian for having squandered the days. And teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen."